Blog Talk Radio.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter, at Joy Keys. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, if you are still on Facebook, because we know the other day there was a whole debacle about what they're doing and how they're promoting certain information and not blocking other information. So it's up to you if you're comfortable. I'm still on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys on Instagram. You can also email me. I'm SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. You can check the show out on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, as well as here at Blog Talk Radio, and Google. So wherever you are, you're listening to something else, you want to hear some information about ADHD, about breastfeeding, about MS, check out the show. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. We're out there. Today we're talking about a topic that is very sensitive for the African-American community. And many people think that our boys are being said, told or diagnosed that they have this issue when they really don't. Girls now becoming more aggressive, quote unquote. Do they have ADHD? Okay, let's give them some drugs. So I have two people on the show just here to talk to you about the real deal. What exactly is ADHD? You know, what are the signs? How to help people? They have a lot of support groups. I have an individual here from Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. Their organization is called CHAD. Her name is Rashida Perry Jones, and she is an award-winning writer, communication strategist, and parent education and coach. She is Vice President and Chief Communication Officer at SELF Incorporated, a human services organization providing emergency and permanent supportive services and housing to individuals and families experiencing homelessness in Philadelphia. Good morning, Rashida.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you again for coming on the show.
Thanks
for
having me.
You're welcome. I have another guest here. Her name is Michelle Harris-Price. She serves on the board of the Attention Deficit Disorder Association, a different organization. They're for adults. She leveraged her early internet fascination into a digital marketing agency that launched her first client to New York Times best-selling success. She became a popular speaker and trainer at the intersection of social media and expertise marketing for master coaches, consultants, and trainers before she shut it all down to help care for her parents. Michelle works with the San Diego Diamond Business District on economic development for local entrepreneurs. So she's on the other side of the country. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you, ladies, for coming on the show. I was talking with you earlier, and both of these individuals are African-American. And I want to emphasize that because you guys know the show is focused on African-Americans and things that affect them. But anybody can listen to this topic. It is for anyone. But I just want to emphasize these two women are African-American, and they're working in this realm of people with ADHD, ADD. So I'm going to start off with Rashida. You know, what does this stand for again, this ADHD, and what does it mean that when somebody has ADHD?
Sure. So ADHD stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. And it's a neurodevelopment condition affecting about 11% of school-age children. A lot of times the symptoms continue into adulthood, and there are three different types of ADHD. There's the hyperactivity type, where, you know, folks are generally hyper. There's the inattentive type. Sometimes people may say that folks just, you know, may daydream or may not, you know, have that particular focus. And there's a combined type that's both hyperactive and attentive.
Wow. So, Michelle, you are dealing mm-hmm. with ADHD or ADD. Which one are you dealing with?
I'm combined type, so I'm dealing with them both.
You're dealing with them both. And when did you find out?
I'm dealing with both of them.
When did you find out?
Well, I found out at the age of 46 after being identified as a highly gifted child. Not just gifted,
46.
Highly gifted.
Wait a second. 46. You didn't find out until you were 46?
46, yes. 46 years
wow.
old after I quit my
and
job.
Did,
to
how,
go
did,
become an entrepreneur.
How did that happen? How did that happen?
You know, the universe works in strange ways. So the first client that you talked about, the one that I was able to help become a New York Times bestseller, I became known for that in that industry. So it's like the success industry. It's a personal development industry. So the Tony Robbins of the world, the Jack, all those people that talk about success consciousness. So I was in that world. And my client told me, said, well, you know, you have ADD. And I looked at him like, what you talking about, Willis? Like, how you going to tell me I got ADD, right? And I'm just thinking, why would he say that to me? He's the first person to ever say that to me. And I wonder why he said that. And then he looked at me and he said, it's okay. I have it too. And this is not, mind you, this is a multimillionaire that owns like a $1 billion real estate company. And he's 2 years younger than me at this point, right? And I just said, okay. And I listened and I heard it out. And then I got contacted by a friend who could not do a book campaign for this man named Dr. Daniel Amen. And when I looked, she said, can you do this campaign? I said, okay, I'll do that. I looked him up. Guess what? He's like the number one ADHD expert almost in the world, right? So I take a test on his site. And this one little question convinced me that what my client had said was probably true. And the question was, do you feel an inordinate sense of pride at completing tasks that other people consider are completely normal, like paying bills on time or showing up somewhere on time or, you know, things like that? And I just thought, oh, my God, I wonder if I really do have this thing, right?
And wow, like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Now
it's crazy,
Rashida,
but it all makes sense. It all makes sense,
it makes sense
when I look
for
back.
You.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Rashida,
oh,
she's
yeah.
telling her story. Mm-hmm. Are these things that you've heard from other people because you're a parent educator and coach and you help family members raising children with ADHD? Does her story sound familiar to you?
It does sound familiar. I largely, you know, as you said, deal with parents and deal with, you know, parents raising children with ADHD. But I have heard about, you know, folks having, you know, a kind of a late diagnosis with ADHD. The folks I deal with, their children have been diagnosed usually, you know, by 5 or maybe by 8, sometimes by 14 years old. And, you know, sometimes, you know, they kind of see that their child has something that's going on that may be a little bit different. You know, the child may be unable to focus or may not be able to pay attention to detail, may not appear to listen, and those types of things can affect their schoolwork. But it's important at a younger age, if you can, when you start seeing those different things, to have your child go under some type of evaluation. My daughter, who has ADHD, was, you know, tested, and she was a gifted child. However, I saw that, you know, although she scored very well, had very high grades, that when she was in school and then when she was at home, she still had difficulty focusing. She had difficulty completing tasks. Although she was exuberant and had all this energy and all this creativity, you know, my concern was, like, I don't want to wait until she fails at something to get her some type of help. So I saw it, you know, early on that she had challenges and struggling with completing tasks, staying on task, following multiple kind of directions, and wanted to, you know, get some type of intervention early on.
Yeah, some of the lists that are on Chad's website, they talk about fidgets with hands and feet or squirms and chairs, has difficulty remaining seated, runs about, climbs excessively, acts as if driven by a motor, fails to give close attention to details, has difficulty sustaining attention, does not appear to listen, struggles to follow with instructions, loses things, is easily distracted, is forgetful in daily activities, difficulty waiting and taking turns. Now, they also mention about co-occurring issues that children may have, like some children with ADHD have Tourette's and other symptoms. They also say children with ADHD are at risk for serious problems in adolescence and adulthood. Michelle, do you remember your adolescence? Do you remember early adulthood? They talk about driving problems, difficulty with peers, risky sexual behavior, substance abuse. Did you have any behaviors that people were like, why are you doing that? I mean, if you feel comfortable,
no,
Michelle,
that's the interesting
I don't want to, like,
thing. Here's the thing. No. I am happy to tell you all my story, okay? Let me tell you that
okay.
This is more common than anybody thinks, and it is genetic. So if a kid has it, one of the parents has it. Somebody has it. They didn't just come up with it unless there was trauma there. And there's a way to, you know, to discern how much of this is trauma related. And I'm listening to the, because what we know about ADHD has come from all these studies on all these kids. Nobody has done studies on adults. These kids, and they say about 5% of adults have it and 85% are undiagnosed. So if the kids have it, look to one of the parents because it's genetic, okay? That's the first thing. Second thing, my mother was bipolar, probably with ADHD, undiagnosed, but she graduated from Dillard University in the 40s. She was part of the American Negro Theater in Harlem. My father was in the military as a chief petty officer, the first one in Alaska where I was born. This thing is not as cut and dried as people want to make it. I'm listening to your checklist. I did none of those things as a child. There is this thing called hyperfocus. We can hyperfocus. It's not that we can't focus. This is a disorder of executive function. It's an executive function deficit disorder. So that's what
Rashida
Buckley is now.
Rashida, do you hear her discussing this issue of genetics? It says that when I'm reading, more than 20 genetic studies have shown evidence that it is strongly inherited. But there are also other factors. It talks about exposure to lead and pesticides, premature birth, low birth weight, and brain injury. In your experiences, the children you've dealt with, have they had any of these issues? Have the parents have ADHD and or have they had any of these issues of lead, low birth weight, brain injury, trauma before birth?
Sure. Well, the research is kind of not clear on what actually causes ADHD. Like you said, there are issues of it being inherited and some other things. From the parents that I largely deal with, sometimes they also have ADHD and it's undiagnosed. With my daughter, neither myself, I haven't been diagnosed with ADHD, but when I take tests online about do you have ADHD, you know, oftentimes it comes up that I do, but I have not been evaluated yet. Neither did my was my husband. So there is a strong component that is inheritable, and what happens with that is oftentimes parents have undiagnosed ADHD, so it can be difficult for them to provide some of the structure that often, you know, children with ADHD need in their household. So it can be like a catch-22 sometimes. And sometimes when parents are, you know, trying to help their children, they discover that they may have ADHD or see a lot of these same types of symptoms.
Now, in your experience, Rashida, girls or boys, do you see more girls or boys being diagnosed having ADHD, ADD?
Well, the research suggests that boys tend to be diagnosed more because oftentimes they have the hyperactive type. And the research suggests that girls have the inattentive type. My daughter was like high H, like almost off the chart H. The person who evaluated her actually said, I've never scored someone, you know, this high. Oftentimes it's overlooked in girls because it may be, you know, the inattentive type. And, you know, the child may be a bit quiet and, you know, oftentimes overlooked. But that's why it's important for parents and for teachers to kind of, you know about ADHD, know about some of the symptoms, and know how it's presented so that you can be doing, you know, a check kind of with your class and with your children to see if any of these symptoms persist. I mean, there was some studies that has thought that, you know, black children in particular were diagnosed at a higher rate for ADHD. But recent studies have shown that actually, you know, black children are not and oftentimes may be underdiagnosed. And white children
Absolutely.
Tend to be diagnosed, you know, more so with ADHD, which means that, you know, if you're diagnosed with ADHD, there are certain things that you're afforded. If you're a child in school, you can get an IEP, you can get accommodations
yes.
that can help your child along
okay,
in school.
Okay, Rashida, let's slow down a second. I want to mm-hmm. go back to that. You just said IEP. Let the audience know, because they may not know what that means. What is an IEP?
So an IEP is an individualized education plan. And it's a, or some people say individualized education program, where it's that is something that is you're entitled to, your child is entitled to by law if they have been, you know, diagnosed with ADHD or some other type of condition that is covered by this particular act of Congress. So you can work with your school, you can work with whoever your health care provider is to create a plan to make sure and to help your child succeed. The school will have to follow it. They are bounded by law to follow it. If they do not, you do have opportunities to seek, you know, legal representation to make sure that it's done.
Now, Michelle,
yes, and can
you
I
found
add to that?
Out at a,
yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. No, ask your
I
question.
Was going to say that you found out at a late age. How are you coping with this? And do certain things trigger you? Is food, certain exercising, stress? Talk to the audience about your coping skills and things that may trigger your symptoms.
Well, what happens, I actually started a support group for high IQ plus ADHD individuals, and it self-selects. So you select yourself. I started that group because I never saw my story in any of the stories that I kept reading about people and their ADHD. I never saw that there was an intelligence component, and now it's called twice exceptional. So there is this term, 2E, and it's twice exceptional. So what that means is high IQ plus ADHD or dyslexia or all these other things. You talked a little bit about co-occurring things. And, you know, with adults, the issue is when you're diagnosed late, you've already gone through all this. So when you mentioned self-medication, I self-medicated, yes, I did, with drugs as a teen. Like, you know, but it was just, I don't even think that I was self-medicating at that point. But the way that happened for me was, when you're smart, you figure out how to cope. You find coping skills. So you have workarounds, and you don't let people know. You're smart enough not to let people know that you're having problems, right? That's the issue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So and in my family particularly, we were a family of educated people, educated black people, okay? So on the East Coast, everybody goes to school. And my mother, you know, everybody, that was the thing. You went to high school, you went to college, you got, you became a professional. That's the thing, okay? Out here on the West Coast, we moved out on the West Coast. I didn't do none of that. I got married at 18, okay? Had a baby by
19,
20.
So how did you cope now when you were older? When you were older, what do you do now? Do
it
you
was
eat
stuff.
Food?
I didn't cope.
Are you a
I did
vegan?
Not.
You did not
Mm-mm.
cope. Okay.
No, I'm not a vegan. I did cope. None of that, because you don't. What it is that's something that you resist any kind of structure. So I raised my kids
okay.
with no structure because I had all kinds of structure and I hated it. But I realized if I had not had that structure, there's no way I would have turned out the way I did, because I had one daughter mm-hmm. who did not require structure. I ended up marrying a man that had ADHD worse than me, and I had no idea that's what it was. Neither one of us knew that's what we had. And then we have this daughter, and she's got it too, right? And we don't know this. I didn't convince her until she was in her early 30s that she had it. I finally had to just tell the whole family. I have four generations of this in my family.
Now,
and
Rashida,
nobody knew any of this.
Rashida, do you think, let me ask you this. Okay, when people are pregnant, they have a baby, and they check them for certain illnesses, do you think parents should automatically maybe say, you know what, let me get my child checked for ADHD when they're, like, in middle school, elementary school? Should that be, like, a checklist for parents?
Well, there isn't necessarily genetic test right now that can identify if someone has ADHD. There are some mm-hmm. there's some research going on that tries to show that there are a component of different genetic tracers that may add up to someone having ADHD. I always suggest that if you think that your child has ADHD, you should get your child evaluated. Oftentimes, you know, these different types of symptoms that we've been talking about, fidgeting,
Rashida,
talking.
I want to get you to slow down for a second. I want to go back to evaluate it. When you say evaluate, where do we go as a parent to get evaluated? Am I going to the school counselor? Do I need to go to a psychologist, a psychiatrist? Where should I take my child?
So you have several different options. You know, oftentimes the best time to start, the best place to go is to your pediatrician and to ask your pediatrician to refer you to a psychologist. However, you also have an option, particularly in the public school system, to have your child evaluated through the school, you know, counselor or school psychologist. So you have two different options. If you do have that work done through the school will have access to your child's evaluation. If you decide to get it done privately, even with insurance, there generally is an additional cost, but you can make the decision when or if you want to share that information with the child's school or to whom you might want to share that information with.
Michelle.
Now, I worked at the School of Medicine. I worked at the School of Medicine at UCSD for 20 years. They don't teach doctors anything about ADHD in medical school. Very little.
Medical doctors.
And
but what about psychologists, psychiatrists?
Doctors. They don't teach them much either. They don't get a whole lot. And so as adults, one of the things that most of the adults here at ADDA, they are really struggling trying to get diagnosed because there's a lot of doctors out there that don't believe in it. They don't know anything about it. And I really think we've got to fix this, y'all, because this is facilitating the school-to-prison pipeline for our boys to stay here.
Now, let me ask you. You're working with ADDA, which is Attention Deficit Disorder Association. What types of support are out there? I saw your pages. They have a beautiful page. You have, groups and all types of things. Tell the audience what types of support you guys have.
We offer everything. We talk about our thing is start and then connect and grow and then serve, right? So basically when you connect, we have webinars, weekly webinars. We have courses. We have interactive online courses, and we have close to 30 support groups of all types that you can think of, virtual support groups. We have them for young adults. I wish we had more African-American young adults who would show up. We do have one for African-Americans or blacks, the black diaspora. We have one for women over 50. We have one for non-ADHD partners. So, you know, you're frustrated with your partner, we got a group for you, right? Men.
I also saw you have a mobile app. You have a mobile app.
Yes, we have a mobile app. We have a
storyline. Uh-huh.
Right.
That sounds
we do.
Really cool.
And what that does is that helps you journal. That's a journaling app. We also have what we're calling TAD Talks this year. I'm really emphasizing these TAD Talks, which is it's our version of a TED Talk, but it's only 9 minutes instead of 18 because of our attention span.
Very cool.
So we have
very cool.
And this year, what I asked everybody to do was to tell their ADHD hero's journey because I feel like people need to hear your story, your adult story. There are so many adults that did not get diagnosed as kids. So many.
Rashida, now you're working with Chad. You're working with Chad. Talk to us about some of the services that they have that can help people, parents, children, partners maybe. I saw like an ADHD toolkit. Talk to us about your organization's support services.
Sure. Well, Chad has a plethora, a lot, just like ADDA, information for people with ADHD, as well as caregivers raising children with ADHD, teachers, professionals working with folks with ADHD on the CHAD.org website. As a parent, you know, CHAD was where I went to get information. You know, being an African-American woman, you know, raising a daughter diagnosed with ADHD, I didn't know too much about ADHD. I didn't know where to get supports. And I was able to take something called the parent-to-parent training class, which CHAD offered. And through that, I think it was like a 9-week course that my husband and I took, you know, we learned a lot about different types of treatments for ADHD. We learned about behavior modification. We learned about, you know, having token systems and incentives for our daughter. And that was very important. But CHAD.org, you can become a member. There's a yearly membership fee, or you can pay it, you know, a small amount during, you know, each month. And you have access to a lot of information that's very, very helpful. CHAD also is runs what is called the National Resource Center, which is a resource center on ADHD that is totally the major funding comes from the CDC. So the actual Centers for Disease Control looks to CHAD and looks to the National Resource Center as their research on, as their kind of organization and their touch point for research on ADHD.
Wow.
Yes,
so we got
know,
CHAD.
I will say that we are actually, ADA is actually starting to be advocating for more adult research because this thing doesn't go away.
Yeah.
Sometimes people.
Well, that's what I was reading. It stays with you. It's not something that's going away, but there is support out there. So you have CHAD.org.
Mm-hmm.
You have ADD.org. There are places out there for you to get support. Ladies, thank you. We have run out of time. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today and all the knowledge
thank
that
you
shared. If anybody missed this show, they're just tuning in, the show is archived. It'll be archived on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, as well as here at Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, ladies. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thank you, Joy.
You
appreciate
thank
you
so much.
Okay. No
bye-bye.
Problem. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for tuning. Oh, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I'm going to have another show coming up. I'm speaking with author, researcher Andrea Freeman about her book Skimmed. It's dealing with breastfeeding and racism. Imagine that. So that's coming up next. But again, this show is archived, and you can check it out here at Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and a variety of other places where you download your podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. We have a page and we have a group on Facebook. And you can check me out on Instagram. Thank you so much. It's Saturdays with Joy Keys on Instagram. Stay tuned for our next show.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.